Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I want to be more than just somebody.
Good morning, and welcome to the New Day Show. My name is Dynamic Daphne, and I'm your host. I am also referred to as the Queen of the Empowered Soul. And as always, we are broadcasting out of Brookfield, Connecticut, where we are experiencing one of the most beautiful sunny Monday morning. And I pray that you too are enjoying your Monday morning in whatever climate you are. We are up for an amazing show this morning, where our guest is none other than Miss Veronica Conway joining us out of LA. I get so excited when I have guests from the West Coast because they have to wake up so early to be with us, and that allows me to really appreciate their presence. Before I bring her on, I want to remind the listeners that the chat room is up and running, so please join us there. I'll take your questions from there. And also, the calling number is 646-915-8166, and that's the number that you call if you have questions for Ms. Conway. Good morning, Ms. Conway, and welcome to the New Day Show.
Good morning. Thank you, Ms. Daphne, Ms. Dynamic Daphne.
I thank you so much for waking up, because I know it's not, especially if you're not a morning person, I know it's still maybe like what time there, 7 a.m.?
Yes, it's 7 a.m. here. I'm in Northern California. I'm in San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. Well,
yeah.
We greatly appreciate it, and we have a guest in the chat room already, and I want to welcome guest number 22. And if you have a question, you can type it, and I will relate it to Ms. Conway. Veronica, I have known you for quite a few years, because
yes.
We have been blessed to be part of the amazing organization, the Power Networking Conference / FraserNet Organization.
Correct.
And I know your story very well, and I know this story will be uplifting, informative, educational, but most of all, empowering to our listeners. But what I want you to do this morning, take a few minutes, please, and introduce Veronica Conway to the listeners so they can have a basic understanding about who you are.
Okay. Well, I guess the most succinct way that I can give it to you is I am I'm the founder and president of, as you said, the Black Professional Coaches Alliance, which is the world's only organization of African-American life and business coaches. We've done a lot of partnering over the last several years with National Black Professional Associations. But there's a deeper kind of backstory, and I'll give it to you as succinctly as possible. I was born the daughter of a former Black Panther, and my father ended up going to prison when I was 6 years old. Prior to his incarceration, we lived underground. I, you know, went to school under an alias. We had police shootouts with the cops, and I experienced death threats against my life. He had a very high-profile trial, civil rights trial, back in 72, and he was convicted of the murder of a park ranger, and he went to prison, where he's still in today. So that whole experience sort of set me on a path to try to really, A, make sense of the situation that had happened to me, because it was somewhat traumatic, but also to, I really began to ask the question about what is freedom, you know, because I saw my dad, even though he was incarcerated, he seemed to have the mindset of freedom, and I saw a lot of brothers and sisters that were walking around, not incarcerated, live and act and talk as though they were incarcerated. So I really began to ask the question, you know, what is freedom? Is it a function of your circumstances, or is it a choice? And out of that series of questions, I really began to do a lot of when I went to college. I really began to do a lot of personal development work, and then I kind of hit on this idea that I wanted to find the latest and greatest technologies that would serve people of African descent in dealing with what I call internalized racism and victim think. And so I really spent the last several years of my life not only forming the organization Black Coaches, but also creating the Black Mastery Program, which is really the first program. It's an audio program that deals with, uses really cutting-edge technologies like hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming to eradicate internalized depression in Black people. So that's the short answer to all of, to your question, or long answer.
Yes, that's amazing. That's good, because, you know, Veronica, when you do certain amount of personal development and you're anyway over age 20, you oftentimes have to summarize your story, or you tell it in segments, and you did very well here. I wasn't expecting you to tell the entire story, or else the next time you're on, the people won't want to come, because they're going to say, oh, I've heard it all. So you did very well.
Well,
I just want to piggyback on something you said, a question you ask: what is freedom?
Right.
And I know there are listeners now who are pondering that question, because, as you rightfully say, there, your father is incarcerated and he behaves as if he's free.
Yes.
And there are others outside who are acting as if they are incarcerated. And as I listen to you make that statement, what comes to my mind is that it's not the bar around us that prevents us from being free or incarcerate us, but it is our minds. And
correct.
So what's your take on that?
Sure. I mean, I really believe that. I am a student of human peak performance, and I have been for the last decade. And one of the things that I've come to really deeply understand is that so much of what happens and what our experience is here on Earth really has to do with the way that we use our psychology, the way we use the things that we say to ourselves, the things that we visualize in our mind, and the way that we use our physiology or our body. And so much of our experience really has to do with how we create state. And so much of our experience really has to do with how we represent things to ourselves. So one of the, I believe that freedom is wholly a function. You can attain freedom when you reprogram the mind to have freedom. So much of what happens in our experience ends up being a function of a whole collection of, you know, memories and events that we've had in the past that we've assigned a particular meaning, and now we act from that meaning. And if the meaning is disempowered, then we'll tend to get a disempowered result, right?
That's
so,
right.
In my view, it all comes down to belief. You know, you either have results or you have reasons. You either have the result that you want, or you have a story or a way that you're representing life to each other that has you not get what you want. So what I've come to really understand is that the human mind is very powerful in dictating your experience. So if you can get control of that, then you can do almost anything.
That's right. That's right. Because the other important thing about the power of our minds is that every experience, as you rightfully say, that we have in our life is collected and stored right there in that subconscious computer.
Sure.
And when we grow up as adults and we are looking to pursue different things in our lives, that computer up there starts reminding us all the reasons why we should or shouldn't. And that's why it's important to have our hearts take over control of that, because that's where all our authentic messages are going to come from, and the messages and purposes that is directed from God is going to come from that authentic core of our hearts. So we have to have that take over control.
When I work, you're absolutely right, Ms. Daphne. When I work with clients, and I've coached everyone from truck drivers to CEOs. I have three coaching companies. I've coached athletes, artists, celebrities. I've coached CEOs of multi-million dollar companies, and I've trained case managers in low-income communities about how to work with folks that are coming out of prison, off welfare, they're in transitional housing. So you name it, I've coached it. I coach finances. I've coached everything. And one of the things that I really hear over and over again with people, doesn't matter what economic status, doesn't matter what their background's been, but oftentimes the reason that people don't get what they want is it's not because they don't have the capacity, and it's not even because they don't even really know their purpose. Most people have some inkling as to what their purpose is. They know that they are put here to do something that is unique and that is godly and that is miraculous. Because God, you know, I always say, you know, the yearning that you have to do whatever it is that you are called to do, that's put there for a reason. It's put there as the universe's way of getting it done. So they have to create yearning in humans to get it all done. So, but it's often not that people don't understand that, it's that they often ignore, they've been conditioned and programmed to ignore that inkling, that desire, that yearning, and to suppress it in service of something else. So, you know, I went through a period in my career where, for whatever reason, I had Harvard MBAs and Harvard attorneys, you know, Harvard educated attorneys coming to me and saying, "Gosh, you know, I am in this job and I hate it, and I don't know how to." Give me permission to get off of this track, because I'm making 300 grand a year and there's a lot of societal pressure to stay on this track. And really what I want to do is I want to create and be a creative person. And so there's often this inner conflict that people experience that really stops them from really fulfilling the purpose. Now, but you got to check this out, because here's what people need to understand. If you have the courage to walk towards your purpose, if you have that, if you do whatever it takes to listen to your heartbeat and listen to those stirrings and inklings, I promise you the universe will make a way. Because what I found when I came out of corporate America and decided to live my purpose is I found that the whole world rushed in to meet me to support the vision that I had, because it needed to be done on earth. And so so I say, you know, if you have the courage to move towards it, it will move towards you. And so, and you know, at this point, I figure at this juncture, at this day and time, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. The economy's, you know, collapsing, or we're doing whatever it does. You may as well, because everything's uncertain anyway, and you can't necessarily bank on all the systems that are in existence. So you may as well do what you're called to do.
Exactly, and have fun and enjoy it. And you know the reason, too, that hinders people from really stepping towards what their purpose is that they keep comparing themselves with others, because I think society in some way or other tend to program people to compare themselves with others.
Sure.
So unless you are bold enough to say, no, I am authentic, I'm unique,
that's
I'm
right.
going to follow my path.
That's
you,
right.
You leave going around in a circle.
That's right. Absolutely. I mean, you know, and the funny thing is that you can't live someone else's life anyway. So,
nope.
You know, it sort of occurs to me, why would you even try? It's impossible to do. All
That's
you
right.
can really do with any certainty is you can listen deeply enough to your own soul and
mm-hmm.
respond to whatever its inklings and inclinations are and live
mm-hmm.
the most authentic life that you can. And, you know, trust me, I mean, I'm a longtime entrepreneur, 10 years in this game. I mean, it's not like it's always the easiest thing, but what
oh,
I
no.
find is that if it's your calling and your purpose, you can't not do it. It's like non-negotiable.
Exactly.
You have to do it. It's imperative, you know, it becomes this imperative.
Right.
So I really encourage anyone that's listening to really, you know, have the courage to dig deep and figure out what that is for you and be willing to
mm-hmm.
move towards it no matter what.
Mhm. And you know, there is always someone around you, and if you pray, God will send that person towards you or persons towards
mm-hmm.
you who will support your dream, because being an entrepreneur, as you mentioned, it's not easy, but neither
no.
is working a job. So you might
well,
as well follow your heart, as you say. And
well,
there are
yeah.
people, and I call those people my power team. They are there
mm-hmm.
to allow you to stretch and to support you, because a lot of times this road is extremely lonely. And
yes,
if you don't
yes.
have the support, you tend to want to give up.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I think that, well, first of all, I want to really make the case, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. I mean, it's an extremely complex skill set that has very little to do with your, that has very, in many ways, it has very little to do with your gift or your talent. In other words, it's such a complex set of skills. I mean, you know, I have coaching businesses, but I feel like I'm a great coach. I've really transformed a lot of people's lives, but at the same time, I have to be very intentional about how I do the business side of what I do, and that has there's the talent and the gift and the you know, and then there's also the business side and making sure that I have a team in place that actually helps run the business side.
Yep.
So, to your point, but if you do choose to go into entrepreneurship, to your point, Ms. Daphne, it is very important to have a supportive network around that's really loyal, that really supports you, that's not a naysayer, that really gets you, that you know, can kind of lift you up and support you along the journey, because it can be a terribly lonely journey. It can be terribly fulfilling and terribly rewarding, but it's
yes.
also, you know, so yeah, to definitely have that crew,
yes.
that kitchen cabinet.
Yes, I want to go back. We're going to, because we kind of had fast forward to where you are right now, but
mm-hmm.
I want to go back a little bit to your humble beginnings. I know up on the blog we had that writing up about the Black Panther, and there was a picture there of a little girl behind a group of men holding a poster.
Yeah.
And I have learned that that little girl was you at age 3.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. What were those moments like for you, if you can recall?
Sure. Well, you know, my childhood was tough. I mean, it was, and I say tough because it was scary. In other words, my, you know, we lived in a communist collective. My dad was He studied Marxism and Leninism and Stalinism because he believed that perhaps communism was going to be the solution for the struggles that we faced here during that time. And, you know, you've got to remember that the Black Panther Party was really formed. You know, they've been really misportrayed very much in the media, and that's very much by design. You know, there's these kind of gun-toting radical revolutionaries, but you got to understand that the Black Panther Party was developed as a response to the police coming into our communities and doing whatever they wanted in the Black community. They just did whatever they wanted. So the Black Panthers were formed as a response to police the police, and because they needed policing. And at that time, it was legal to carry unconcealed weapons. So the Black Panthers took up arms so as to protect our community from this, you know, just a really virulent racism that was happening in that time. So so that was true. But they did a lot of good things. They did had a children's breakfast program. They did a lot of they did many, many things. But you know, because my dad was a firm believer in Marx and Lenin, you know, he had read the Mao Zedong's Red Book and France Fanon, Wretched of the Earth, and he really believed that Marxism was going to be a solution for what we faced at that time. But because of his political views and because of his sensibilities, we were in a lot of trouble. I mean, at one point, he was at war with internally with other members of the Black Panther Party. And so when we ended up living in Marin County, we were literally living underground. I was going to school under an alias. So if you can imagine a five-year-old girl having to remember that her, you know, that she has a different last name and not, you know, communicate anything about what was happening at home, you know, we were living under an alias because, you know, the FBI and the COINTELPRO, they were all looking for my dad, and other people in the Black Panther Party that he was at war with were looking for him. So there was a real, from my perspective, there was a real climate of fear because there was so much secrecy around our environment and so much secrecy around how we were living. And so it was terrifying, and it was really something that later in life, I really had to take my butt back into therapy and deal with to deal with some of that early trauma, because it was quite, you know, and then when my dad got busted, you know, it was very scary to have, you know, the cops come bust down the door at 7 a.m. and put a gun to your head, and you know, I went and lived in a foster home for a while, and my mom had to move me out of the county because we were getting death threats against my life and my parents' lives. And I just think a lot of that for a young child to be kind of exposed to all of that was quite, it was hard. I will not lie. It was really, really hard. But at the same time, it was me having to go back and attempt to make some sense of that experience that led me to the work that I do. In other words, I really began to say, well, you know, if I have to throw off everything, if I have to try to understand and or throw off all the painful parts of what has happened to me, and as I began that journey and that process, that really deep exploration, I began to really kind of investigate that, and so I began to really learn, you know, what is the difference in the thinking and the psychology that allows you to make change. So, it was painful. It was scary, but in many ways it shaped me and really informed the work that I do today. I always say your mess is your message.
Yes.
You know, if you can find a way to turn it around.
You know,
yeah.
Veronica, for as many times as I've heard you share your experience and your life stories, I have never heard you cast blame or hate on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the experience has helped to mold you into the phenomenal leader that you have become, and it has allowed you to connect to the black community in a special way. And with that being said, I want to move to the black paper.
Yeah.
Could you tell the listeners what is the black paper and what the focus of it is?
Okay, sure. The Black Paper, and you can get your free copy, by the way, listeners, lovely listeners, at www.theblackpaper.com. That's theblackpaper.com. And the Black Paper is my love letter and my spanking to the black community. And what I mean by that is it's a 34-page manifesto, and what it explores is this whole issue of what I call internalized racism. And it explores deeply why black folks are in the condition that they are in. The headline of it is, you know, Black America, Black Planet, your problem is not white people, it is your mind. And people often ask me, what does that mean? How can you say that? You know, we've been at the effect of all this stuff. But what I explore in the Black Paper is how our programming and our conditioning is the thing that is now – that now remains in our way. And, you know, I say we've been through, you know, 246 years of slavery, 342 years of legalized racism, 382 years of attitudinal racism, and only 44 years of legal participation in our society. So we've only had 44 years, and we've had 400 years of negative conditioning, and we've had about 44 years of legal participation in our society. And what that does is it creates this mindset that happens at the subconscious level about our sense of possibility. So, you know, I say your conditioning determines your condition, right? And so people say, well, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, it's not that racism doesn't exist, by the way. It's not that it doesn't happen out here. It does. But I believe that we have to get our mindsets, we have to get our mindset on straight to overcome that conditioning, that programming, that stuff, that story. And we have to be willing to write a new story. The problem is that most of us walk around creating results at the we do it subconsciously. So what's you know, it's just like the way they train baby elephants, right? They attach them to a chain. And they stick the chain into a pole on the ground, and when the elephant's little, it can't break the chain, but it gets conditioned and programmed that it can't break the chain. And when it grows up, it can break the chain, but it doesn't because it doesn't believe that it can. And that's the same thing that's true in the black community. So now we can look around our community and say, okay, we either have results or we have reasons. We have these results in our community. And we're going to have to change them because, by the way, white folks ain't going to do that for us. They're just not. We got to do it for ourselves. And it's not necessarily fair, but it's true. But I believe that we're really powerful reality creators. We're really powerful gods and goddesses. And I believe that we can create any result that we want. We just have to get the correct mindset and the correct psychology, the correct mental environment to be able to do that. So the Black Paper describes this phenomena in great detail. It's sort of a synthesis of all of the work that I've done over the years. It takes some of the work of the Black Coaches Network, and it just kind of puts it into a little 35-page document that explains how all this stuff works.
Mm-hmm. You know something? I just want to share some of my experiences because the part of New England I live is an extremely diverse section. And I know one of the local cities here, close to where I live, Danbury. It's like a mini UN because there are 49-plus languages that is spoken here. So it's extremely diverse. But you know what I have noticed both in my work, in my community activities? There's not only white and black racism. I think there's more black and black racism than there is white and black. Because as we look into each ethnic group or culture, we have our own prejudices and stereotypes. I know here a lot of blacks would be taking time to dissect and evaluate where you're from. They are not just looking to say, well, it's a black person. You know, let's do this together. Or even take the color out of it. They have to figure who it's from, where, what country, and what you're doing or not, instead of pool the resources together and come together for the betterment of the community. I don't know if you have observed that in your work.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think when we talk about, you know, black-on-black crime, we talk about black-on-black sort of discrimination, we talk about black-on-black stuff, that's really a thing that all comes down to what I call internalized racism. In other words, there's a self-hatred
mm-hmm.
that has been conditioned into our DNA, into our psychology, into our thinking, that causes us to perpetuate this sort of hatred and animosity against each other, and it really is a thing that stops us from coming together as a collective and being able to really master our destiny. You know, you always
mm-hmm.
hear stories about, you know, the crabs in a barrel syndrome, or, you know, blah, 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 blah,
yes.
blah. But at a certain point, we're going to have to get over that stuff, get over ourselves, and begin to fall in love with each other and with ourselves. But you can't do that. You can't
right.
fall in love with the person across the table until you have fallen in love with yourself. And I think so many
exactly.
of us are walking
exactly.
around with some really deep self-hatred. And, you know, most
mm-hmm.
people do not want to hear me say this because they go, well, I don't really have that. Well, I think you can, again, you can look at the results that individuals are getting, and you can look at the results that our community is getting, and you have to understand that that comes out of a very deep psychology that gets
mm-hmm.
that result. So,
mm-hmm.
I think that
mm-hmm.
that is all a function of internalized racism. And that's what I talk
yes.
about in the black paper.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Veronica, for sharing that so eloquently. Because, you know, one of the things I just want to piggyback on the self-love statement you just made. One of the things I tell my client all the while, don't try to change the people you are in relationships with, whether it's an intimate relationship or a business relationship. You can only change yourself.
Sure.
And I say those qualities that you are looking for in the next person, when you start exuding those
absolutely.
Traits in yourself, automatically,
absolutely.
Everybody
absolutely.
Else around you looks so wonderful.
That's right.
But
because you can only attract.
You can only attract what you're sending off.
Absolutely. It's absolutely true. And I'm a real student of manifestation. I'm a real student of the law of attraction. And it's inevitably and always true that you can only manifest that which you're really holding in your subconscious mind. And so, you know, if you believe you're loved and supported and you're going to receive help from the universe and from spirit or whatever your definitions are, and that people are basically good and people fundamentally, you know, want to support you, then you will experience that. And if you believe,
exactly.
you know, in your psyche that people are out to get you or they're not going to support you and they're not going to help you, then you will get that too. So it's very, very powerful. You can always look around at your external environment. You can always look around at your external environment and understand that that it is a reflection of your inner reality.
Mhm, mhm, mhm. Awesome, awesome statement. Would you please share with us? You have been in business for 10 plus years as an
uh-huh.
entrepreneur.
Yes, I have.
When you just started off, what was this experience like for you? I know that. Who, you know, are newbies in this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. You know, in my life, if you can't tell already, I think there's a certain tone or tenor to my life that's a little bit extreme and that's a little bit, it's always kind of dramatic. But when I started this, not even dramatic, because I'm not a drama queen, but intensity. I do experience
yes.
an enormous amount of intensity in my life. It just seems to be sort of my birthright. So when I started my business, it was very interesting. I actually got the vision of wanting to do this work. I went to a Tony Robbins seminar, and Tony Robbins, if you haven't really followed his work, you know, I really recommend him. He's done some very powerful. He's
yeah,
very
he's
powerful
a phenomenal
work.
Man.
He,
yep.
But understand that the work that he does is really neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis. That's really what he's mastered. And he's just mastered
mm-hmm.
it at a very mass scale. It's also, by the way, the same work that I use in the Black Mastery Program. And you can check that out at www.blackmastery.com. And it's the same body and modality of work that I use there. I use hypnosis and NLP because I think it's some of the strongest technology on earth, really. And I went to a seminar of his way back in like 97. working in a job that I hated in telecommunications, and I found out about his seminar because I had done his tapes, and I listened to his personal power tapes, and I decided I wanted to go to a seminar, and I really didn't have the money. I was a young mom. I had young kids. My husband and my ex-husband and I were like kind of barely making it, you know. And I just thought, but I made a decision that I was going to go to his seminar. And so I went and I collected, it was $600. And so I went around and I collected $50 from everybody in my office. And I decided I was going to go. I absolutely decided it was not going to be negotiable. I said, it will be. And so I did that and I went. And it was life changing. And so when you get those kinds of inklings, that there's something that you want, that you really want to do, and you don't see a way how, I would say, you know, by any means necessary, do whatever it takes to get it, because it often has a clue in your destiny. It often, if you really yearn to do it, there's often a clue to your destiny there. So I went to that seminar. It changed my whole life, because there I got a vision for waking up the potential and the power of people of African descent. I literally got the vision installed in my nervous system. And here's the thing. The reason that I'm a big student and a big fan of neurolinguistic programming and hypnosis is because what you can do, not only can you use that technology to really quickly eradicate limited thinking, limited beliefs, limited internalized internal representations, but you can also use it to create very empowered internal pictures that then activate in your nervous system in such a way that you cannot stop moving towards it. So I got a vision, and real vision, by the way, I want you guys to hear me, is not a hope or a preference or something that it would be nice if it happened one day if. It's really, it's lit up in your nervous system. You cannot stop moving towards it. You must put it on the map. That's what real vision is like. It wakes you up out of bed every day. You can't stop doing it. You're on fire, and you do climb through every constraint, every obstacle that you can to get to the vision. And so that's what real vision is, and that's what NLP and this technology can do for you. And so that's what it did for me. So I went to that seminar, got this vision, and then said, now what? I knew I didn't want to go to work for Tony, but I knew I wanted to get into this work. And so a couple of weeks later, somebody said to me, oh, there's this thing called coaching. And I said, oh, okay. So I went and I took a class at a coaching school, fell in love with the technology, said, okay, that's it. This is what I'm doing. I made a whole bunch of – I started wheeling and dealing and negotiating at my job. I got my job to pay for $20,000 worth of coaching training and to give me all the time to go to do it. I founded the Black Coaches Network shortly thereafter, and I found people to support me in – I began to attract large clients before I had even left my job, my day job, because I was that focused, I was that intentional, and I was so on fire, I was so clear that I was willing to move mountains, and I was willing to be shameless, and I was willing to ask for whatever I needed. And so that's what I think most of us are missing, is this sort of shameless, I must have. What? How can we get this? And so I just kept doing it. I kept doing it, and it was very interesting because I made a decision. I picked a date by which I was going to leave my job, and come hell or high water, I had negotiated all the stuff with my job. I had negotiated all the stuff with my ex-husband, and I had 3 months worth of expenses in the bank, and I found my day, I picked my day, and then I made the leap knowing that I had 3 months worth of expenses, and I said, okay, I know that I can live for 3 months and I will make the money. Now, understand that the way that I built my business in 3 weeks. I had a full practice in 3 weeks, and I want you to hear how I did this. Somebody coached me. They coached me, and they said, do 5 income-generating activities a day, meaning do 5 what I call green activities every day. So what I mean by that is there's only some activities in any business that are going to bring you income. There's only a few. In real estate, let's say, it might be either showing an apartment or getting an investor, but there's only a couple of activities that actually bring you money. And if you write down all your income-generating activities in green ink and all of your everything else that you do in red ink, then you can look at a glance at your calendar and see how much money you're bleeding. So a lot of times people are not income-minded. They do a lot of different stuff, but they don't really focus on the money and asking for the money. And that's the first thing that you have to be able to do as an entrepreneur is, A, focus on the money, know how to manage the money, know how to get the money. I built my business in 3 weeks by doing 5 income-generating activities a day. So that means I wrote a proposal, I sent an email, I made a phone call. But the activities were designed to bring revenue. They weren't trying to make me feel good. I wasn't trying to get, like, all this emotional support. I was like, where's the money? So I literally built my business initially in 3 weeks. I had a full practice by doing 5 income-generating activities a day.
Now, would you like to share those activities for the listeners?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that so it could be writing a proposal for a team building. It could be, you know, one of the things that I did early on is I found people that were playing the game that I wanted to be playing. So I was a firm believer in mentors. And what I find a lot, like in the coach community, is that we tend to hang in the coach community. People tend to, you know, coaches typically want to be soothed. They want to hang out with people that tell them that what they're doing is good. But you know what? Sometimes you have to be willing to talk to the people that are playing a bigger, better game, and you got to be willing to stand there next to them, and you got to be willing to let go of the look good, and you got to be willing to let go of what you don't know. And you have to be willing to stand in the heat and the glare of people that have won. And it can be very uncomfortable. But you have to be willing to put yourself into discomfort in order to get what you want. And the people that have walked the path that you want to be walking, they have a different experience, a different perspective, and a different vantage point. And by standing next to them, I don't care what you got to do, carry their water, you know, do whatever you got to do. But what you want is you want the paradigm and the mindset of success. And you need to understand their strategies for how they've gotten their success. So you've got to be willing to stand next to them. And too often we sit inside of our comfort zone
with people that are
in the same boat that we're in, and we just want to be convinced and told, right, that what we're doing is okay, when it may not be the thing that we need to hear to actually take us to the next level. So you got to be willing to get uncomfortable.
That is not going to allow us to stretch. We have a caller on the line, and before I take the call, I just want to just point out something just to affirm what you just said. If you are with a group of people and you are the smartest one, you need to get another group, because that's not adding any value to you, and it's not allowing you to stretch. So
we all need to assess
those people we are around. We have a caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Caller 301. Good morning, caller.
Okay.
Caller
good morning. Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Paul
How
Van.
Are you? Is this
doing
Mr.
Great.
Van?
This is Paul Van. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Ms. Conway, that's Mr. Paul Lawrence Van from Washington, D.C. area. Good morning, sir, and welcome to the New Day Show. Do you have a question for Ms. Conway?
Yes, first of all, good morning to Veronica, and I want her to know that I have read the BlackMastery.com. I've been there before and visited. It is outstanding, and I want to thank you for it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yes, and one of the questions that I do have is more probably for other listeners, people will be listening in the future, is you just mentioned that there are 5 income-oriented things that you do per day. So you have a consistency of that when you were starting out in that 3-week period of time. You did it every single day, and then you matched up with the mentors.
Yes, I did. I had very high-powered mentors, yes.
Okay. And so I guess for someone just starting out, I've been in business for years, but for people just starting out, so what you recommend they do is just find a system that works.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. In other words, money is, I love what you're saying, money is should be systematized, and it should be audited, and it should be as predictable and as I have a friend that's a loved one in my life, and he's a genius in business. And what he often talks about is how you need to automate your capacity to attract and maintain prospects. So, you know, that is, you know, there are some things that should be systematized and as operationalized as much as possible. And client acquisition and maintenance is one of them.
Okay. Great.
That should be systematized.
Uh-huh.
We often leave that, it's often kind of sporadic and it's up to chance and it's not systematized. But that, if that's the basis of your business, it's client acquisition and client retention, then by golly, it should be the thing that's the most routinized, the most automated, and the most operationalized. Right?
Fantastic. I do appreciate that. And, of course, I am a friend of George, so I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be on autopilot.
It has to be on autopilot. Well, thank you very much for answering that, and I'm looking forward to enjoying the rest of the interview.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Paul.
Okay.
Ms. Conway, let's talk about a little bit about you being a health practitioner and a little bit on the Black Coaches Alliance.
And say a little bit about being a what practitioner? What did you say?
Neurolinguistic.
Oh, NLP. Yeah. Well, again, I think that NLP is one of the most potent technologies that I know of for creating really rapid behavior change. There is another there's another technology that I want to mention in a minute, but I'm a managing partner of a company called bio-etherics.com, and this
is
even.
Can you repeat that, please?
Yes, you can find it at www.bio-etherics, E-T-H-E-R-I-C-S, bioetherics.com. It's a very, very powerful technology, and I want to talk about that in a second, but NLP is so I got certified in NLP. In Black Coaches, we have had a person, Dr. Cherry Collier, who's one of the few sisters in the country who is Train the Trainer certified in neurolinguistic programming. So she's trained a lot of Black coaches. I got a lot of Black coaches trained in NLP because I knew that ultimately when we did a culturally competent coaching curriculum that we were going to need to have coaches trained in some of the more potent and certain technologies. So NLP, I think coach training is fantastic. I'm a firm believer in coach training, but I also know that NLP creates a real certain result in terms of your capacity to transform people. So I'm a big fan because it's like rocket science. It's certain. It's duplicatable. It's sustainable. So I use NLP with clients to deal with, like, the hard stuff because I think that, you know, we all come up against, you know, internal beliefs, barriers, constraints that stop us from having what we want. I always say, you know, if you really wanted what you want and you believed you could have it, you were fully congruent that you could have it, you'd have it. So the fact that you don't have it is a strong indication that you're not congruent. Because if you were congruent and you wanted it, you'd have it. So part of what you got to do is you got to get congruent. And one of the ways that you get congruent is you use some of these technologies like NLP. So I'm a firm believer in that. We've had a lot of coaches trained and certified in that. Now, the Black Professional Coaches Alliance is I'm actually in the process of kind of revamping that. I'm about to do a whole initiative nationally called the Black Mastery Challenge. It'll be a free online challenge. Yep. And we'll be launching Black Coaches in conjunction with that.
Okay. So, give a bit of information about Black Mastery because I wasn't sure where the Black Coaches Alliance, where the situation was right now.
Well, we're going to be kind of reactivating that. Actually, I'm going to do a national initiative. I'm going to do a national launch of the Black Mastery Challenge. We have some pretty major strategic partners for the Black Mastery Challenge. Big partners, And when we begin to promote that and advertise that, we're gonna relaunch Black Coaches in alignment with the Black Mastery Challenge. So that's what's kind of coming down the pike. Yep.
All right. So we'll be sure to have you back here so we can all learn more about it.
Okay.
And, okay, we have 39 minutes remaining in this episode. What I would love for you to do is to take a few moments, please, before you go into the next system you are going to mention.
Mm-hmm.
And give the listeners some information about how to get in touch with you.
Sure. I've got lots of ways to get in touch with me. Let's see. You can, but probably the main way is you can go to www.veronicaconway.com. It's www.veronicaconway.com, all one word, V-E-R-O-N-I-C-A-C-O-N, like Nancy, W-A-Y.com. You can also check out my blog at www.theblackpaper.com/blog. It's theblackpaper.com/blog. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Black Planet. If you want to connect with me in social media, you can get that information on veronicaconway.com. It's a thing that says join me, and you can join me in all my social media spaces because I'm on a few of them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that information.
Sure.
Right now, I don't know whether or not you had any questions in mind that you wanted, an area you wanted to cover that I have not yet asked you about.
Sure. I want to let people know about a new technology that is going to sound a little bit like Star Trek, but I think you guys got to check it out because it creates an incredible, incredible advantage in your life, and that is this technology called bioetherics. And what bioetherics, I'm not the inventor of bioetherics. This gentleman that I met down in Arizona is the inventor of this. I'm simply helping bring him to the marketplace because I think that the work that he's doing is so important. It's so meaningful. And what bioetherics is it uses a technology called radionics. And radionics was developed in the 1920s in Europe. And what radionics says basically is that you can send a signal anywhere in space and time, anywhere on the planet. So it's kind of like having like a big radio signal. And if you've got an antenna on your end and you've got a strong enough signal, that signal can find that antenna and it will send a transmission. What bioetherics does is this gentleman, Bill Kirkland, has developed a machine, a distant energy machine, that sends a high-frequency signal at a distance. And so what that means is he can put your name on the machine or an address on the machine, and it will locate that anywhere on Earth and send this signal that bathes you in clarity, and it removes all negativity out of your field. So what basically happens over time is you almost become, I would say, like superhuman, because what he is saying is that when you begin to clear negativity out of your auric field, when you begin to clear negativity out of your body, out of your space, then you begin to perform at more optimized levels. So it's kind of like having prayer on steroids, 3,000 people praying for you on steroids 24/7. So it's I think it's some of the most profound technology. He's cured my son of ADD at a distance with no drugs, no nothing. I've seen my own capacity to manifest and attract just get highly, highly accelerated. Life just has gotten a lot easier. When you first go on the machine, you feel high. It's like amazing. He just goes, okay, your name's on, and then all of a sudden you feel highly energized, and you can't locate a negative emotion. So there's all kinds of implications in terms of distance healing that he can do. There's just tremendous application. So I tell you, you know, run, don't walk, and check out bioetherics.com because it can create an enormous advantage in terms of how you perform. And I think it's one of the most seamless it's one of the most seamless technologies that you can ever come into contact with. I mean, you know, basically, it's just you don't have to do anything. It's just always working on you 24 hours a day. So check that out, y'all.
Amazing. Now, How can you help me to get him on the show?
Oh,
he
I can.
Sounds like somebody
yeah.
I would love to have on.
Sure, I'll connect you guys via email. You can absolutely have Bill on. He'll do it.
Amazing. All right. Someone in the chat room is asking, what is the platform for initiating this interesting thing called radionics? Are we saying it correctly?
Yeah, it's radionics, but I'm sorry, repeat the question.
What is the platform for initiating this kind of interest out here? In other words, how do we get the general public to buy into this?
That's a great question. You know, what I don't know the answer to that. What we're doing is,
okay.
we just launched the website for bioetherics.com.
All right, and what's the website again? Say it slowly. I'm going to type it in.
www.bio-etherics.
Dash is the hyphen?
Yes, hyphen. Etherics.
Uh-huh.
Etherics. Etherics. E-T-H.
E-T-H.
E-R.
E-R.
I-C-S.
I-C-S.
.com.
.com.
Bioetherics.com.
Thank you very much.
So, yeah, we just initiated.
So, we save that question for when we have the gentleman on the show, because that sounds like an empowering thing that he's doing that we all can utilize.
Yes, absolutely. It's very, very powerful. And, you know, we're just getting the website built and launched. So we're just, you know, we're starting to kind of go out and we're going to be partnering the technology with organizations, meaning if people have large organizations and they want to partner, we can do revenue shares with them on subscriptions, because what he's selling it as a subscription. So it's powerful. It'll change your life. That's all I can say. Yeah.
Well, I'll be talking to you off the air about the things you mentioned here earlier on.
Great.
I want to remind the listeners in the chat room that if they have any questions, to go ahead and just type it so I can pass it on to Miss Conway. Now, we mentioned as a woman business owner,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not fitting you in a box of any form, but I know that a lot of times I speak with female business owners or entrepreneurs, and they are saying, oh, you know, men get all the breaks, and, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me.
Uh-huh.
What have your experience been as a female business owner?
Oh, I love the question. I actually love being a woman business owner. I love it, and here's why. I love that you asked this question. I love being a woman business owner because I think that, well, first of all, check this out. I am a firm believer that there's a tremendous amount of power in the feminine. Now, here's the deal. A lot of, because the planet has been sort of patriarchal and male-dominated in the last, let's say, 2,000-3,000 years, what's true is that we've lost sight of how the feminine actually is empowered here on the planet. Because when you look around, you really don't see a planet that is empowered in the feminine. And what I mean by that is, if it were empowered with the feminine, there would be zero tolerance for all the things that are a negation of life. So what I mean by that is, if women were in their power and they were really coming from their power, there wouldn't be all this war and all this. We wouldn't tolerate it, because the feminine is really about the furthering
nurturing
and the
Right. But the thing is that we've got a masculine paradigm run amok. And I'm not hating on the guys. I love men. I love y'all. But this whole paradigm of, like, conquer, kill, destroy, all that, and tolerating it is not working anymore at all. And so as I've come into contact with my own real feminine essence, I've come to understand that if you're a woman acting like a woman, now hear me now, not a woman acting like a man, trying to do it like a man, but a woman acting like a woman. You can attract, magnetize, and bring to you and summon to you all of the things that you need in business in a far less effortful way than if you were trying to do it as a man. So I don't hustle. I work hard, but I don't necessarily hustle hard. I sit in a room, and I focus on what I want, and I summon to me all the things that I need to create, to give birth to all the things that I want. So it's like if a man was going to have a baby, he'd have to go out and he'd have to construct it. He'd have to go get a head. He'd have to get a leg. He'd have to go get it. And he'd have to ski it. He'd have to cobble it all together. And when a woman has a baby, all you need to do is you need to put her into a room with a little bit of sperm and some food and 9 months, and she will summon everything from the universe that she needs to create that life. Well, the same way that she can do that in nature and with children is the same way that she can do that with manifestation and getting a business or getting, you know, recognition or all the things that she wants. And so so when you understand that, operating as a woman in business, when you stop trying to do it like a dude, I promise you, it is – so I think it's an extraordinary advantage. I think it's way easier than trying to go out and do the hustle flow like guys have to do. By the way, guys, if you really understood the power of how a really empowered and activated woman can operate, what you would also understand is that as her partner, you can activate her and you can put visions into her that she can go out and manifest on your behalf so that you don't have to work so hard. So there's a whole – I run my business from the standpoint of the feminine. And so I have found it easy and fun and empowering and magic, and I create miracles in my business all the time, but I don't see it, you know, the way that the person that you're referring to said it. I see it very differently, but I also operate very differently.
Yes. You know, what I get from all of what you just said is us focusing on being our authentic selves. And when we connect with who that person is, then we won't have to be looking at gender. We won't have to look at ethnicity. We won't have to look at environment. We'll just create the result that we want.
Correct.
I want to take this time to just shout out to the people who are in the chat room. We have guest number 432. I thank you. I don't know where you're calling from, where you're joining us from, but we greatly appreciate you. And we have guest number 455, 448, 644. And, of course, we have 383. And I want to thank Paul for still hanging in there with us. I know I can always depend on my brother. So all the other people in the chat room, if you want to type where you're listening from, just so we kind of have an idea who is in there with us, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. Okay, I have some housekeeping that I want to do, and we have 26 more minutes. I don't know if you realize, Veronica, that I have you on more than an hour. So if it's okay with you.
Sure, that's fine. That's fine.
Huh?
That's fine. Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. I can stay.
Somebody in the chat room says, this Veronica is amazing, and so is the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're amazing, too, whoever said that.
Huh?
I said, you're amazing, too, whoever said that.
Yes, that came from Paul. He is such a blessed person, you know. He himself is doing a phenomenal job down there in the Washington, D.C. area because
fantastic.
He is just committed to changing people's lives. And God has blessed me to have him in my life, and I greatly, greatly appreciate it. You know, Veronica, I met another gentleman who is the son of a former Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And I am in conversation with him because I would love to have you both on the show together to compare stories.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I feel comfortable doing so, depending on how our conversation evolves,
mm-hmm.
I will open it up, include you, and then we will set a time up when I will have you two on because I know that will be another phenomenal show.
Yeah, you know, I'm always very interested to talk to other children of, you know, and just people. You know, the thing that I think people need to understand about, you know, kids of Black Panthers and people that were just around that whole political movement in those times is that there was, you know, people sometimes want to glamorize, oh, you know, Black Panthers, you know, so I don't know what they think. But I tell you, it was war between Black folks and white folks at that time. And it was a lot of violence, and there was a lot of stuff that was happening on that was really kind of terrifying. And so I think that so many times kids of Panthers, you know, I mean, a lot of them self-destructed, a lot of the Panthers self-destructed because of just, they were sort of like, you know, prisoners of war mentally just because of what they ended up going through. And I don't think you can underestimate that. I know that Kathleen Cleaver was doing some healing retreats for people who had been through this experience because she began to realize how traumatized people were from having gone through it. Yeah.
Yep. And that was part of his experience too, the little we shared together. And I asked him if he knew you. He said no. And I said, oh, man, I got to get you all together so we can have an amazing show. And I know there are other children out there who would love to talk about this stuff. We
mm-hmm.
look forward to have them. I want to give a shout-out to Talent Waver. Thank you for joining us. And if you have a question, you can go ahead and type it in. And Ms. Conway, I want to give you a couple minutes to catch your breath and preserve your voice while I just do a few housekeeping. Is that okay with you?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. On June the 20th, at 9, between the hours of 9 to 4, I am having a retreat at the Oratory of the Little Way, and the theme is staying connected to your purpose during challenging times. And you can register for that event on eventbrite.com. And I also want to encourage you to pick up a copy of my book on clarkhudson.com, and of course it's Clark with a E at the end. And there's an event, there is a teleconference happening on, I forget the date. However, if you check it out, eventbrite.com, you can http://grantmoneysuccess. If you're looking for some money to fund whatever you're doing, some grant money is available, and you can pick up the information at eventbrite.com for that conference. And the last thing I want to do right now is to thank the people at the Simple to Empower down there in St. Albans, Queens, for being a gracious host to me. This last June the 3rd, I had an amazing workshop on building your personal effectiveness, and it was a real great time for the people who were there, and I thank them for coming out. And I also want to thank the director over there for opening up her place to me. Okay, I'm back with you, Miss Conway, and there is some message here in the chat room for you. Let me see what it says.
Okay.
It was about an hour ago that I was going to bed and saw Veronica Conway's post for this on her Facebook page. I said everybody needs a Veronica Conway on her page, but this been so interested that I'm now sleep deprived. I think this is a very good talent waiver. This is a very good reason to be sleep deprived, because you'll never be the same after you listen to this episode and you go back and listen to On Demand. So do you have a question for her? Do you have a question? It's amazing. You know, people are looking for ways on Veronica to empower themselves. And
sure.
We need to do what it takes. Indeed, I need this. The person say, indeed, they need this. Let me find out, where are you from? Amazing, amazing, amazing. Yes, Aunt Veronica, are there any other insights you want to pass on to the people?
Well, sure. I mean, I just think, in going back to this thing called vision, you know, I think that people really don't understand what having a vision means. And, a vision, again, is not a hope. It's not a preference. It's not something that, you know, you hope will happen one day. It's really something that is so lit up in your nervous system that you can't stop moving towards it. And the problem is that most people are not willing to have something that they have put their butt on the mat for it so powerfully that they can't stop moving towards it. So we get these sort of mediocre lives. We get these kind of low-grade lives, these sort of low-grade results. And we end up letting into our focus and into our experience all the things, the distractions, and the things that really aren't the most empowering thing. So I think the first thing you got to do is you got to get a vision for what it is that you want in your life. And here's what I'll do. I'll do a little bit of what I do, right? So if everyone that's listening, you know, just go ahead and close your eyes. And I want you to bring to mind something that you really want to have happen in your life. And really bring it to the screen of your mind. And I want you to take that picture and something that you really want. It could be a big thing. It could be a small thing. And I want you to notice what happens to your neurology and your physiology as I walk you through this little guided visualization. It'll be very brief. So, you know, take that picture in your mind, and I want you to take that picture, and I want you to make it brighter. And I want you to bring it closer. And I want you to make it a movie. Make it panoramic so that it's happening around you in 360 degrees. As though it is happening now. And I want you to take any sounds that you might hear in that vision when it's being realized, as though it's happening now. Like, who do you hear? What's being said around you? Or what do you hear? And what do you say to yourself when this vision is actually realized? And I want you to actually take, you know, what you feel what you feel and know when that vision is realized. And I want you to imagine that. I want you to feel it right now in your body. And make that even more intense. And make it even more intense. And make it so intense as though it is happening right now. And now you can come on back and open up your eyes. And so many of you may notice that just by doing that little quick visualization, that you have a different relationship to the thing that you desire. And that's how we want to begin to use our brains, our nervous systems, and our bodies to get the results that we want. We want to begin to really focus with a lot of clarity with our imagination, with our five senses, on that which we most want. And oftentimes what we do with visions is we take that same picture, that thing that we want, and we put it out in the future, and we make it kind of dim and gray and black and white. And then we take all the things that give us fear and trepidation, and we take those and we amplify them, and we get associated to them. We make them bigger. We make them brighter. And so what we typically do, we disempower ourselves tremendously, because we often take that which is disempowering and we focus on it and amplify it and magnify it, and then we take what we want and we diminish it and we make it smaller and we put it out in the future. And so you have to begin to get control of your destiny by taking control of how you represent reality to yourself And that visualization that I just gave you is a very simple, quick, powerful way to do that.
Yes. Thank you. Well, our listener, Talent Waver, is joining us from Vancouver in Canada.
Okay, fantastic. Welcome, Talent.
That is amazing. Veronica, would you please take 7 minutes to give us your closing thoughts, please?
7 minutes? Oh, wow, okay. Again...
Take ten.
Okay. So, again, you know, I really want you to, no matter what your situation is right now, no matter what is happening in your life, you know, here's the thing. The planet needs you to step up and do the thing that you were called here to do. Like, it feels to me like there is no, you know, the house is on fire, and the universe needs people and the planet and spirit or whatever needs you to wake up to your purpose and actually have the courage to do it. They say that, you know, if you desire something, the word desire means of the stars. And so anything that you desire is actually cosmically, innately, it's inside of you. And so along with desire always comes the capacity to fulfill it. In other words, you would not have the desire to do anything under the sun if you did not also have the capacity to realize that desire, because with desire comes a unique set of giftings, talents, skills, abilities, and capacities to actually fulfill it. So I think that, you know, with the house on fire and with the way things are going now, I think it is more critical than ever that people are actually doing their purpose and that they're doing it in a very non-negotiable way, because the more people are aligned to purpose, the more balance, harmony, congruence really happens on the planet. I always say I don't partner with people that really aren't on purpose. I don't actually have a lot of relationship with people that aren't on purpose because there's something that is so different when you're actually living inside of your purpose in terms of how you perform, how you show up. So I would just say that, you know, I would want everyone to make a decision today, if you have not already, to live that purpose no matter what. And I promise you, if you have the courage to do that, that life will show up. The second thing is, you know, it's like I say, be willing to do whatever it takes, reorient your whole life around whatever your truth is. And so, you know, I've had to take a tremendous risks. You know, I'm a single mom. I've got two kids. I've raised two kids by myself for quite a while now. And no matter what, I've done what it has taken to do purpose. So I really don't believe that we have an excuse anymore do and have what we want. It's just because no matter what your situation is, no matter what, there is always a way seemingly out of no way. So I just would encourage people to absolutely have the courage to walk that path. I'm not sure what else.
Before you carry on, someone in the chat room wrote, "I've found that my vision has been my torture, only because I've been so full of doubt. Even though so many people believe in me, I doubt so much as being possible. But the more time I spend procrastinating, the more crazy I become."
Right. So the torture is not the vision. The torture is your unwillingness to follow the vision. That's the torture.
That's right.
In other words, so check it out. So check this out. Yeah, it's like the torture will continue until you step up and get into movement and action around it. And so if you need to eradicate doubt, I'm going to do a shameless plug, and I don't mean to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Go get the Black Mastery program. It's blackmastery.com. There's some really powerful visualizations on there that eradicate doubt and conflict and inner conflict forever. And I'm not saying that to plug the program. I'm saying it because it really, really works. The thing is that the doubt, you know, by you continuing to placate and honor and amplify the doubt, that is going to create torture. But I want you to understand, it's not you'd be in bliss if you followed the vision with some congruence. So it's not the vision that is the torturer. It's the doubt that is the torturer. So I would say get rid of the doubt.
That's right.
That's what you got to do.
That's right.
So it's never the vision. When we follow the vision and we are true to the vision, then we tend to be in bliss. So that's not the vision is not the problem. So I hope you get that.
That's right, and it's all the negativity in the subconscious mind. That's what is bringing all that doubt and all that.
I always say whatever you're avoiding is running your life. Right?
Right.
So whatever you're avoiding is actually because if you're avoiding it, if you can't be with it, if you can't approach it head on, then it's got you by the throat and you're orchestrating your entire existence around the avoidance of that thing. So, you have got to really take an inventory of the things that you're avoiding and be willing to confront them head on, because I think what you'll find is that they're paper dragons anyway. So whatever that doubt is, usually people that have doubt about vision, it's doubt, but I also would say it's fear. In other words, there's
the
something
more
that
they peel the onion back, they keep finding more things. So the progress is going to begin with peeling the onion back. And
what's really hindering,
what's preventing you.
A lot of times people, they what I call vision in the negative, and what I mean by that is they're picturing a painful outcome with moving towards the vision. So instead of picturing the positive outcome and picturing what they want, they're actually picturing what they fear, and you can't move towards what subconsciously you think will bring you to fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whoever said that is probably not really visioning the successful outcome or the successful realization. They're probably picturing a really painful outcome.
Right.
So that's again, when we talk about how getting clear about how you represent reality to yourself, that's why you got to get control of this mind, right? And how you represent things to yourself, because that's where all the power is to move forward or not.
Yep, positive action.
Yeah.
Okay. This was an amazing show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
The person says, Veronica knows me. It's crazy. And they laugh. So you hit it right, the nail right on the head of this person. But we all need someone, that will hold us accountable, and that's where coaches come in.
That's right.
We hold you accountable to follow through and your God-given purpose and talents and all those amazing visions that you have for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica, I want to talk to you off air. Is this a good number to get you at in half an hour or so?
Sure, 415-331-6070.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can call me there.
Yeah. Okay, so we have 7 minutes remaining.
Okay.
And I can't believe how quickly time goes by when we have fun and doing God's work adding value. I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Veronica, for being so gracious.
Thank you.
And just planting seeds in my listeners. I thank you.
I greatly appreciate
you. There's one person just join us. Real Talk, Tanya White. We want to thank you for joining us. And we have approximately 4 minutes remaining in this episode. I don't know if the person that just joined us have a question. If you do, well, she's no longer there. She signed out. So, is there anything else on your mind for 3 minutes or now?
maybe I shot my wad. I don't know. All you guys out there, go to bio-etherics.com. Check that out. If you've got fear, doubt, trepidation going on, that may be one of your answers. Please go pick up the Black Paper. It's free, www.theblackpaper.com. And for those of you that that are very interested in sort of getting some real behavior change fast, you can check out www.blackmastery.com. It's not just for black people, although it does deal with the issues of internalized racism. It really is a program that helps you eradicate fear. It reprograms all that fear, doubt, scary stuff, and really moves you forward quickly into action. So not just to plug my stuff, but I really, I've spent a decade developing all this stuff so that it would really free people up. So I invite you to check out any of those resources for all of that.
All right. And Talent Waiver says, thank God, Veronica. Thank God for making her with a big smile. And
thank you.
Oh, it's amazing. She, the person laughs and says, I am white.
Cool. Cool.
It's amazing. We don't see color because the work we do is around empowering and develop people. So we just work with your willingness to follow your vision. Your color ethnicity means nothing to us. So we just embrace you, my sister or my brother. Both Veronica and I embrace you. And we look forward to having you back on the show again.
Thank you.
And I want to just ask people to go into your bookstores today and pick up a copy of Dr. Miles Monroe's newest book, Overcoming Crisis, and then join me here again on the 24th of June when he will be my guest and we'll be talking about his book. And on the 17th, my guest will be Mr. Paul Lawrence Vann, and he's going to be talking to us about money and how to locate it and to really use it to develop all the things we do. Again, I want to thank Ms. Conway for joining us this morning and just planting seeds in us. I know our lives will not be the same after today. Again, Veronica, I thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
For coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been my absolute pleasure.
Thank you. And for those of you who are still listening, this was a true affirmation that you do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. Stay focused, visualize, harness all your goals, visions, and intention, and there will be no stopping you in following your destiny. Stay blessed.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.